I'm just the pastor. I really don't know what's going on around here. So it was a March in 1993, and there was this high school from the town of Marengo, Iowa. The high school's name was Iowa Valley. They won their sectional championship and were heading to the regional championship, and this game was going to be played in the big city of Marshalltown, Iowa, and it was a big arena. And so this ragtag group from Iowa Valley came to Marshalltown as the very much underdogs. They're playing a team from Hudson, Iowa. And this Iowa Valley team had a power forward by the name of Scott Hedke. And he was, you know, back in those days, the posts were never supposed to leave the post area. It's not like basketball nowadays where everybody's shooting threes, you know. So we were playing in this game. It was a packed stadium. There was a lot of people there. At least that's what I tell my kids. And it was the first quarter. The first quarter's winding down. There's about 40 seconds left. We get a rebound, and our coach tells us to hold it for the last shot. So we get down there, you know, set up in our offense. And there's about, you know, I said 40 seconds on the clock. And I was thinking in my head, I know I can make three-pointers. I'm going to sneak my way out there. And it's exactly what I did. I kind of snuck my way out to the three-point line. I was kind of wandering around in the lane for a while. About this spot right over here, right next to Micah, is where I like to shoot three-pointers. I got out there. I got the ball. There's less than 30 seconds. I know I should probably pass it, but what do? I put it up, and I drain it. And let me tell you, the earth shook. There was a slight earthquake, and the crowd started chanting, "Head key, head key, head key." It was a very earth-shaking moment. At least that's what I tell my kids. But that was my three-pointer for glory. The coach didn't get mad at me because I made it. But all we did was tie it up at the end of the first quarter. We ended up losing. But the team we lost to won the state championship that year, so we have that. But anyway, we're going to talk about earthquakes today. The earth-shaking earthquake. The earth-shaking earthquake. And so I looked up some facts about earthquakes, and as we know, they can be very catastrophic. They're a very serious natural disaster that we deal with in our world because of sin. And so there was just one in Papua New Guinea on Tuesday of this week that wreaked havoc. I'm sure you heard about the one in Turkey and Syria that killed a ton of people that they had there. The U.S. Geological Survey reports that there are around 500,000 earthquakes that occur each year. Did you have any idea? Most of them obviously don't really do much, but that's a lot. And the largest recorded earthquake ever was 9.5 on the Richter scale in Chile in 1960. And the largest one in the USA was in 1964 in Alaska, which ranked at 9.2. So the 60s was a bad year for earthquakes, apparently. But we're even going to talk about a good earthquake today. So even though they can be catastrophic, this is a good one. So I'm going to read to you the Easter event from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. You can follow along. And now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. "Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." We get a lot of great details here that Matthew gives us. And so all four Gospels record, you know, events from Easter Sunday. And they all tell it a little bit differently. And Matthew gives us some details that we don't get in the other ones, and some very interesting ones. And I would say they're very earth-shaking details. If you look right at the beginning, there's two women that are the first eyewitnesses. This is significant information. Because if you remember, there was a rumor going around. The Pharisees and the religious leaders were worried about Jesus being stolen by his disciples from the tomb. Because Jesus had claimed, you know, he was going to rise again on the third day. So they're worried about that. So that's why they put the guard out there and they sealed the tomb, because they didn't want the disciples to come and steal the body. So the fact that the detail is that we have Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. You know, I always feel sorry for this Mary, because there's the Mary Martha, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. There's Mary, of course, the mother of Jesus. And then there's Mary Magdalene, who gets called out. But this is the other Mary. That's all, you know, we get maybe a little bit more details about her, but there's a lot of Marys. But these two women are the first eyewitnesses. Now, if they were, this shows us that this is definitely a historical event, which of course we all believe. Because if they were trying to fabricate a story in those days in that culture, they would never have women be the first eyewitnesses. That's just the way it was then. So this is a very significant detail that we get, that the women are the first eyewitnesses of the empty tomb and Jesus risen, which is very cool. And so another thing that Matthew tells us here is there was an earthquake. And we're going to talk more about that here in a second. The third thing is there was an angel. So by the way, the earthquake happened because of the angel descending from heaven. That's why there was an earthquake. It wasn't to open the tomb. The angel's the one that rolled back the stone from the tomb. And so I do have a couple pictures here. Couldn't find my spot. Up on the screen. This is, just to give you all an idea, this was over in Israel. This was in Nazareth. This is one they made. This isn't an original one, but this is what tombs looked like in those days. And you see the big stone. And those were pretty big, and they were heavy. And so this is kind of what the tomb would have looked like. The next picture here is a tomb, actually, that was dug out underneath the house that Jesus grew up in. And so there's probably a very good chance that Jesus helped dig this tomb. But that's what they did in those days. They dug out and they built tombs underneath their houses. And you can see in that tomb, there's two other little things in there. And there's kind of like a big, I don't know, area where people could go into. And this is where the women would have went into to look after the angel invited them. And then this third picture here is an actual, you can't see it, but inside that chapel is where Jesus' tomb is. You can't take pictures in there, or I would have done that. But there you go, just to give you an idea of what this tomb would have looked like. And so moving that stone back would have been something that only an angel of God could do, because remember, it was sealed also. So he rolled it back. The guards that were there were all trembling like fear, and they fell down like dead men. Has anybody ever been that scared before, where you kind of like fall down and pretend like you're dead? Like that's going to keep you safe? That's what they were doing. They were so afraid because of the earthquake that happened and this angel coming down and moving a stone. So this got me to thinking on this Easter Sunday, what happens when those earthquakes, quote unquote, interrupt your life? When those tremors happen that shake your foundation, your faith? When something bad happens, when we put our trust in things like our government, which may not be very smart ever, when we put trust in the weather. How many of you have been let down by a weather forecast before? How about when you put your trust in your job and then you lose it? Or what about when we put trust in relationships? Maybe it's a friend, a family member. You put all your trust in them and then they let you down. What happens? When life hits you with the consequences of sin, those things, you know, that shake your world, I want you to be encouraged by this Easter event because Jesus keeps his promises. Jesus said he'd been telling his disciples all along he was going to die and the third day he was going to rise again. He did. Now he told the Marys, and the angel told the Marys to go tell the disciples that he will meet them in Galilee. He did. Right before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told them and all of us, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." When life hits you with those earthquakes and those tremors, be reminded of that because Jesus keeps all of his promises. And he promised that he's coming back again to take us with him. And I also want you to be reminded about three things with this Easter earthquake that show us. The first thing here is this earthquake links Easter morning with Good Friday. Matthew 27, 51 through 54, we see another earthquake in Jesus' death and resurrection. And it says this, "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, as many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him watching, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, 'Truly this was the Son of God.'" You know, something that is clear from this earthquake is God has made it very clear, and this earthquake has sent tremors through our world for over 2,000 years now. And you know what? The Christian church is never going to be defeated. The gates of hell will never prevail against it. Jesus told us that too. And you better believe that'll happen. No matter how bad it may seem it's getting, it's never going to be taken down. So Good Friday and Easter together show us the end, what Judgment Day is going to look like. We are going to die, but we are going to be raised back up by Jesus, and he's going to take us home. You see, Good Friday is nothing without Easter. Easter is nothing without Good Friday. They go hand in hand. The second thing to take from this earthquake. This earthquake is described by Matthew as big. The cool Greek word there is megas, which, of course, we get the word mega, because something big has happened. Of course something big has happened. Jesus has risen from the tomb, just like he said he would, right? He is risen. The third thing to take from this earthquake here is this earthquake is proclaiming victory. You know, one of the details I love that Matthew gives us here was in verse 2. That after this angel came down from heaven, he's described, you know, came down like lightning. He's described as white, very bright white. He rolls the stone back, and what does he do? He sits on top of it. This is like a touchdown celebration. He is declaring victory over death. And by the way, did Jesus need that stone rolled back? He was already out. The angel was there to tell those women, look, the tomb's empty. Jesus is alive. Jesus got out of there without the stone being rolled away. You know, I love this detail of this angel sitting on that stone, which is exactly where you can think of each and every one of us sitting on that stone too, because death is no longer. We don't need to fear death. Like the verse says, death, oh death, where is your sting? It's gone. We don't have to be afraid of it. Satan has lost. Hallelujah. He is our king and he is reigning on the throne already forever. Let's celebrate. Amen.